Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. So this morning, I went in search of a story about World War II. John really digs that kind of stuff, and I was going to see if I could find a short story about it. Then, when I was looking for said story, I found today's story, titled The Rider of the Black Horse, written by George Lippard, from the book Standard Selections. Anyway, I won't give away who is riding the black horse, but I definitely enjoyed reading this story, and hopefully you will enjoy listening to and or reading this story as well. So sorry, John, and everybody else who may have been hoping for a World War II story, maybe next time, but for now, we will hang out in the era of the Revolutionary War and learn about a person who is pretty famous, but not for a good reason. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
To go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
The Rider of the Black Horse. It was the 7th of October, 1777. Horatio Gates stood before his tent, gazing steadfastly upon the two armies now arrayed in order of battle. It was a clear, bracing day, mellow with the richness of autumn. The sky was cloudless, the foliage of the wood scarce tinged with purple and gold, the buckwheat in yonder fields frostened into snowy ripeness, but the tread of legions shook the ground, from every bush shot the glimmer of the rifle barrel, on every hillside blazed the sharpened bayonet. Gates was sad and thoughtful as he watched the evolutions of the two armies. But all at once a smoke arose, a thunder shook the ground, and a chorus of shouts and groans yelled along the darkened air. The play of death had begun. The two flags, this of the stars, that of the Red Cross, tossed amid the smoke of battle, while the sky was clouded with leaden folds, and the earth throbbed with the pulsations of a mighty heart. Suddenly, Gates and his officers were startled. Along the height on which they stood came a rider on a black horse, rushing towards the distant battle. There was something in the appearance of this horse and his rider that struck them with surprise. Look, he draws his sword. The sharp blade quivers through the air. He points to the distant battle, and lo, he is gone. Gone through those clouds, while a shout echoes over the plains. Wherever the fight is thickest, there, through intervals of cannon smoke, you may see riding madly forward that strange soldier, mounted on a steed black as death. Look at him. As with face red with British blood, he waves his sword and shouts to his legions. Now you may see him fighting in that cannon's glare, and the next moment he is away off yonder, leading the forlorn hope up that steep cliff. It is not a magnificent sight to see that strange soldier and his noble black horse dashing like a meteor down the long columns of battle. Let us look for a moment into those dense war clouds. Over this thick hedge bursts a band of American militiamen, their rude farmer coats stained with blood, while scattering their arms by the way, they flee before that company of red coat hirelings who come rushing forward, their solid front of bayonets gleaming in the battle light. At this moment of their flight, a horse comes crashing over the plains. The unknown rider reins his steed back on his haunches, right in the path of a broad-shouldered militiaman. "Now, cowards, advance another step and I'll strike you to the heart," shouts the unknown, extending a pistol in either hand. "What are you Americans, men, and fly before British soldiers? Back again and face them once more, or I myself will ride you down." This appeal was not without its effect. The militiaman turns, his comrades, as if by one impulse, follow his example. In one line, but 30 men in all, they confront 30 sharp bayonets. The British advance. "Now upon the rebels, charge!" shouts the red coat officer. They spring forward at the same bound. Look, their bayonets almost touch the muzzles of their rifles. At this moment, the voice of the unknown rider was heard. "Now, let them have it! Fire!" A shout is heard, a smoke is seen, 20 Britons are down, some writhing in death, some crawling along the soil, and some speechless as stone. The remaining 10 start back. "Club your rifles and charge them home," shouts the unknown. That black horse springs forward, followed by the militiamen. Then a confused conflict, a cry for quarter, and a vision of 20 farmers grouped around the rider of the black horse, greeting him with cheers. This it was all the day long. Wherever that black horse and his rider went, there followed victory. At last, towards the setting of the sun, the crisis of the conflict came. That fortress yonder on Bemis Heights must be won, or the American cause is lost. That cliff is too steep, that death is too certain. The officers cannot persuade the men to advance. The Americans have lost the field. Even Morgan, the iron man among iron men, leans on his rifle and despairs of the field. But look yonder. In this moment, when all is dismay and horror, here, crashing on, comes the black horse and his rider. That rider bends upon his steed, his frenzied face covered with sweat and dust and blood. He lays his hand upon that bold rifleman's shoulder, and as though living fire had been poured into his veins, he seizes his rifle and starts toward the rock. And now look, now hold your breath as that black steed crashes up that steep cliff. That steed quivers, he totters, he falls. No, no! Still on, still up the cliff, still on towards the fortress. The rider turns his face and shouts, "Come on, men of Quebec, come on!" That call is needless. Already the bold riflemen are on the rock. Now, British cannon, pour your fires and lay your dead in tens and twenties on the rock. Now, red coat hirelings, shout your battle cry if you can, for look, there in the gate of the fortress, as the smoke clears away, stands the black horse and his rider. That steed falls dead, pierced by 100 balls, but his rider, as the British cry for quarter, lifts up his voice and shouts afar to Horatio Gates, waiting yonder in his tent. "Saratoga is won!" As that cry goes up to heaven, he falls with his leg shattered by a cannonball. Who was the rider of the black horse? Do you not guess his name? Then bend down and gaze on that shattered limb, and you will see that it bears the mark of a former wound. The wound was received in the storming of Quebec. The rider of the black horse was Benedict Arnold.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the Space Shuttle has earned its place in history and has come to a final stop.